Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And we're live online also at kpcg.fm. And there's a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. All of our programs are archived on those websites. Do you find yourself discouraged? I think everybody does from time to time. I know I certainly battle that occasionally. Many people in the world are discouraged, and discouraged quite often. In fact, there was a recent headline that said that the 10th leading cause of death in the United States is suicide. It gets so severe for some people that they feel like this life isn't worth living. They don't see any hope. That's the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And here the United States is a nation that's been blessed abundantly. And yet still people are discouraged. And very often to the point of severe depression and discouragement. Now, God does not intend for you to be discouraged or to have a negative, hopeless attitude. God doesn't want that at all for any of us. We weren't created to be negative. We weren't created to be hopeless. We were not created to be discouraged. Let's notice a very important admonition in Philippians 4 and verse 8. And if you have your Bible, it'd be great to look this passage up and read along with this and other passages we'll talk about today. And if you don't have a Bible with you right now, that's okay. You could write the scriptures down and make note of them, look at them later. Philippians 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So God wants us to think on positive things and be positive people. Now, that doesn't mean we put our heads in the sand and we ignore the reality of the problems that we see in the world around us. We have to understand the reality of the world that we're living in. We have to understand God's prophecies, and we have to see them being fulfilled. But at the same time, we can't be discouraged. How is that possible? It seems like a tough thing to do, to on one hand look at very negative and difficult news, and on the other hand be a positive individual and not be a discouraged individual. But God tells us we are to be positive, and there's a way to do this. There's a commission that God gives to his leader and his supporters in Revelation 10 and verse 11. It says, "And he said unto me, You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." There are prophecies about these nations and kings and peoples that have to be delivered. Now, these prophecies, many of which are found in Matthew 24, which we've covered on recent programs, they do contain the most sobering warning of terrible news. But the end result of this coming correction is wonderful news. And God says that we have to support his work of giving news that on some level is negative, but ultimately is the most positive news there is. And of course, give that positive message as well. And be positive people ourselves. In this age of terrible news, we do have to keep our focus on the good news that's just beyond the bad news. Otherwise, we can become too discouraged to watch and pray as Christ admonished in Luke 21 and verse 36. That can happen sometimes to people. They get so discouraged, they don't want to support God's work anymore, or they don't want to draw close to God anymore. And of course, we don't want to be in that position. We need to face the reality of the times we are in, but also go about to positively support God's warning message. Gerald Fleury, editor-in-chief of the Trumpet magazine and presenter of the Key of David television program, wrote this in Lesson 3 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. He said, "The world is full of bad news, and it's going to get worse. Our challenge," now notice this, "our challenge is to remain positive. If we have God's perspective, we see everything differently. God doesn't want us to be discouraged, or we wouldn't be motivated to do his work." So to remain positive, we do have to have God's perspective. We need God's perspective when we look at world events, when we look at our own lives and some of the ups and downs that we would experience personally. Do we see it with our own minds, our own eyes, or do we see it with God's perspective? If we can see it with God's perspective, we can be positive, even in times that can be difficult. Notice Philippians 2, verses 1 through 2. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." God wants his people to be unified, to have the same mind, and it's a mind that is full of the love of God, a like-mindedness. And then verse 5, very famous passage, Philippians 2 and verse 5, this is the mind we need to have. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need God's perspective, and that only comes through the mind of Jesus Christ. And of course, that mind of Christ can only come to people through the power of God's Spirit. And if we're thinking with that mind of Christ, then we can have God's perspective on world events, on personal situations that we go through. We can see it with God's perspective. Otherwise, we can very often become very discouraged. So if we find ourselves discouraged, we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I seeing this situation with God's perspective? Is it the mind of Christ in me that's considering these things? Or am I seeing it with my own mind? There are great men of God that have gotten discouraged over the years. We're not alone when we have discouragement. It has happened to some great men of God. And some have even asked to die. They've just been so discouraged. Now, God, of course, was able to correct them, and they responded very well. But there's an example that you probably know about, but it's a wonderful example to look at. It's the example of Elijah, and that's in 1 Kings 19. And here, Elijah's life was being threatened, and he became very discouraged. Verse 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword." So he had done some good work for God. God wanted to root out the pagan religion, the false religion. He wanted people to know him. But yet there was persecution for doing that work. Verse 2, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So look, you're going to be dead tomorrow, and I'm going to see to it. Now, that, how would you like to get that message? From a leader of the land, or somebody very close to the leader, it could be quite discouraging, couldn't it? It would be very discouraging, seeing it humanly. Verse 3 says, "And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." And verse 4 says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It's enough now, O Eternal, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." So you would think somebody like Elijah, somebody with that close personal relationship with God, he wouldn't be discouraged, would he? Well, he did get discouraged because he started to see things with a human perspective. He wasn't looking at it with God's perspective. There was a lot that he didn't know. There was a lot of things that had not been shown to him yet, and so he was discouraged because he didn't understand everything that God was working out. The bad news, the threat on his life, I mean, all of that, it really discouraged Elijah. He thought, I've done all this work for God, and now I'm about to die. Well, it's kind of interesting, too, that he didn't want to be killed, but he asked to die. So it's just, that's interesting how our human minds work sometimes. Verse 9 says, "And he came there unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Eternal came to him. And he said unto him, What do you here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Why aren't you doing the work?" Verse 10, it says, "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Eternal God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword." And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So this was Elijah's perspective. He's like, look, I'm the only one that's left, and they want to kill me. You know, they're winning. the false religion and the leaders of the land, they're the ones that are winning. That was his perspective, and he thought it was hopeless. He was so discouraged. But God, of course, had a different perspective on the matter. He knew some things that Elijah didn't know. Verse 18 says, God, this is the Eternal speaking, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Elijah thought he was alone and by himself. And the Eternal God said to him, no, actually, there's 7,000 left. Others that are ready to, you know, support the work, that are supporting the work. They're not bowing down to Baal. But Elijah didn't know that. When I have a trial in my life, and when you have a trial in your life, there's so much we don't know. It's so easy to be discouraged, and yet there is so much we don't know. We need God's perspective on it. And that's a wonderful lesson that we can take here from Elijah's example. Mr. Fleury writes in Lesson 3 of the Bible Correspondence Course, in the midst of all the bad news, we have to finish God's work. How can we do that? Yes, it's a good question. How can we stay encouraged and be positive in doing God's work? Because there's bad news. There are difficult times coming on this earth. Matthew 24 goes through a lot of those prophecies that Christ gave, that there would be bad times ahead before his second coming. So we need God's perspective, but how can we have it? How can we be positive in doing God's work and positive in our own lives as we move forward through tests and trials that inevitably come to everyone? There's a way to do it. We'll look at how to stay positive. How to stay positive after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father. This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. How can we stay positive? How can we have God's perspective in the midst of worsening world conditions? The conditions of the world are not improving. Now, there are some days where the news might seem a little better than others, but if you look at the general trend, things are becoming more difficult, especially when you look at it in terms of Bible prophecy. But we have to stay positive in a world that is increasingly negative. Society is increasingly negative, but yet we have to be positive in this. And we have to be positive in our lives, even when we have some difficulties at times, some tests and trials. How do we do that? Well, first, we have to understand that the correction coming upon this earth is to get people to know God. The whole goal is to get people to look to God and really know Him and His family. And we could even look at that on a personal level. Sometimes we have a corrective trial. But the goal is not to crush us, it's to get us to know God, to really look to God. There's examples of God talking about this and sharing His desire for the world to get to know Him and for people to get to know Him. Isaiah 45 and verse 5 says, I am the Eternal and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded you, though you have not known me. A lot of people, the majority, don't know God. They've heard of God, like Job did. Remember, Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Like he got to know God, and it was the greatest blessing of his life, even though he went through some very difficult trials. Isaiah 45 and verse 6, it says that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Eternal and there is none else. God wants us to know that there is one God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, and there is a God family. He wants us to understand His government and His rulership and His authority. And when we do that, then of course, that's when we have the greatest blessings in our lives. That's when this world will really be blessed, when they get to know God. That's the reason that the terrible times Christ talked about in Matthew 24 are coming to pass. It's for people to get to know God. It's correction. The end result of the trials and tribulations coming on this earth are to turn people to God. That's the result. People will turn to God. They will obey Him, and then they'll be blessed for it. It all has an extremely positive outcome. And on a personal level, too, sometimes those tests and trials, you know, they do draw us closer to God. They should. And so there's a positive outcome from it. So we have to see the positive outcome, the positive fruit, the positive result. That's one part of staying positive in a difficult time. And of course, when you look at the serious, serious prophecies mentioned in Matthew 24, you can personally turn to God today and avoid the sufferings that are coming if God is calling you to understand His truth. You know, God does promise protection from those things. He does promise to deliver us from trials personally and his church collectively. Now, notice a very key scripture to having God's hopeful perspective in the midst of worsening world conditions. This is one of the key scriptures and the real crux of this program today. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. This gives us insight on how to be positive in the midst of worsening world conditions. Verse 25 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This is going to be a terrible time ahead. Verse 26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And notice verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Or your redemption draws near, to put it in the modern language. Yes, terrible times are prophesied to come upon the earth. But we are told to look up because our redemption draws near. You know, we can't be negative and discouraged and be looking up at the same time. You know, there's an expression that I think we've all heard over the years. When somebody's going through a difficult time, a person might try to encourage them and say, hey, keep your head up. Keep your head up. You know, you'll be okay. Keep your head up. And that's what Christ is saying in a very specific way. Yes, keep your head up. Be positive, be positively doing God's work, because our redemption is drawing near. There's great hope in these prophecies given here in Luke 21 and, of course, Matthew 24 as well and other places. Very, very hope-filled prophecies. There's bad news, but then there's this wonderful result. People getting to know God, And when the times get tough, we need to look up because our redemption draws near. That's the hope of it. That's the great hope of it. Of course, there's a great picture that we see when we look at human childbirth. And it's an exact type of our being born into the family of God. And Mr. Armstrong talks about that in quite a few write-ups. But when we see a child being born, right before the child's born, well, there's the labor process. And that's a tough process. Of course, the ladies know that very well if they've had children, and the husbands too. If your wife's had a child, you've been there and you've seen that, experienced it. It's a trying time, but then it's a joy-filled time when a child is born and when there's a healthy, happy baby there. And that's the picture of really of spiritual birth. There are tests and trials. And like Luke 21, 25 through 28 points out here, that when these things come to pass, when it gets to be the toughest part, then look up because your redemption draws near. Your birth draws near into the kingdom of God for those that God is working with in that way today. And of course, great joy and peace then breaks out on the earth. That's how to stay positive. We can see very sobering prophecies coming to pass and get discouraged and get depressed. Or we can have God's perspective and Christ's mind. They see these prophecies coming to pass and think the redemption of God's people is near. That's the hope-filled news. That's the exciting news. There couldn't be anything that's more hopeful than that. And so, yes, there are worsening conditions in the world, but that's prophecy being fulfilled. And what's the end result? The return of Christ and the redemption of his people and ultimately the whole world. Mr. Fleury writes this, "This passage is so critical," speaking here of Luke 21, verse 25 through 28. "This passage is so critical. If we're not careful, when these difficulties break out in the world, we will be prone to get depressed. We have a propensity to hang our heads and get caught up in the calamity, which is getting worse all the time." He writes, "God knows our human nature, so he is warning us not to do that. Don't let this get you down," he tells us. "Lift up your head because your redemption draws near. Jesus Christ is about to return. Don't lose your hope or your positive attitude. You're getting awfully close to the end. That's the battle we have. We must not look only at the bad news." The example is given of the modern nation of Israel. And Mr. Fleury writes about them and the fact that they have been fighting for their survival for decades. And of course, if you look at your headlines, you know that they're always in a battle over there in the Middle East. There's lots of enemies to the modern nation of Israel that want to push them out, push them into the sea, or wipe them off the map, as many have said. And some of those living in Israel have admitted that they are tired of fighting. They're being worn down. They're becoming discouraged. They are losing hope in some ways. But we have to be different than that. Recently, we had the opening of the archaeological exhibit of the seals of Hezekiah and Isaiah. And if you know that history, you know that things looked very bleak for Hezekiah and Jerusalem. They were about to be overrun by Assyria. And that obviously was a horrific time when Sennacherib came in and destroyed quite a few cities on his way. They were brutal. And so people would be terrified, of course. But when Hezekiah finally took his problems to God and worked with God's prophet, God intervened and saved them. They were in their most hopeless moment, and that's when they found hope, because they went to God and he solved it. He solved it. They didn't have to do anything other than take it to God and pray to God about it and trust him. 2 Kings 19 and verse 32 picks up some of this history. 2 Kings 19 and verse 32. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Eternal concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, By the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, says the Eternal. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35 says, And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Eternal went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That army was obliterated in one night. God did it. Verse 36 says, So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. He couldn't get into Jerusalem. He had to turn around and get lost, as as some would say. He had to get out of there. His army was absolutely decimated. And then, of course, if you read more about the history, Sennacherib ended up being killed. And so what a powerful lesson. I mean, Hezekiah was hopeless. Jerusalem was hopeless. And they went to God, and they got God's perspective on it. And God showed them what he would do. He delivered them. And so they went from being probably the most discouraged they'd ever been in their lives to full of hope and joy. They were right in the middle of what looked to be, you know, a catastrophe that they could not get out of, and yet their redemption was drawing near, in terms of physically anyway, being saved from that calamity. We should be very hopeful, even as prophecies show that a modern Assyria will again come against America, Britain, and the Jewish nation in the Middle East. And again, it's correction, because modern Israel has forgotten God. And of course, that includes the United States and Britain. Have forgotten God, don't know God today. And God's goal is to get people to know him. Remember, as these prophecies come to pass, Christ told us in Luke 21 and verse 28, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. The redemption of God's people, and ultimately all of mankind, is drawing near. That is God's perspective, and the positive perspective that you and I need to do God's work. We need to see it from God's perspective. When we look at worsening world conditions, and when we look at trials and tests that come up in our lives, we have to see it from God's perspective. And that's where the hope is. Mr. Fleury writes this, But it's all leading to good news. So don't let it get you down. Lift up your head, because if we don't lift up our heads, we're not going to fulfill the commission God has given us to do. You know that personally. It's hard to get a good job done, to do a good job, when you're not feeling well, when you're discouraged. But if you're feeling positive and upbeat, it's amazing, really, what can be done. Mr. Fleury continues, We must be a positive people if we are going to understand what's happening on this earth and still have God's urgency to finish his work. We have to be a positive people. And so the way to be positive is to have God's perspective on it. When it looks bleak, when it looks hopeless, lift up your head, for your redemption draws near. That's the hope that Christ gave to his people. And really, it's the hope of this world as well. That's all the time we have for today on Live by Every Word. Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. If you'd like to go back and listen to past episodes of Live by Every Word, they're archived online at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.